1 John chapter 2, and we'll read 18 and 19. I think last time we were in 1 John, we were talking about 15 through 17, loving the world, what it means about the world and all, and what it does to us if we get mixed up with it. And then he goes into this. He said, little children, verse 18, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now that's interesting how that takes place. You may suspect it with somebody, and one of these days could be here, and it may have already been here. Well, I'll say it has already, but nonetheless, in your life and in the church here, if you watch people that walk away, it's for a purpose, that they might be made manifest. You'll see the reality of it, that maybe it even crossed your mind before, and then you're like, no, certainly not. But nonetheless, that's what happens. So there's three things to look at in this passage and to look for in a false believer and false teachers. The main thing that starts with, that John started with, he says there that they leave the fellowship. In other words, they leave you. They go. And you say, well, why in the world do we want to know about all this? Well, one reason, because it's in the Bible. Number two, because we need to be aware of certain things that take place in people's lives. And they're sincere with what they're doing. The devil has amazing power. So they leave the fellowship. The point to these verses is a person can belong to a church but not be a true believer. One of the evidences of or fruit of a true believer is their desire to be with other believers. In other words, when a person truly knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they have the Lord in their heart, they want to be with other people of the same. That's one of the. That's just one of the evidences of the fruit. Now, I was told by a certain person that, well, brother, that ain't a fruit. Well, I have to differ with that. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, listen, if I didn't love you guys, I wouldn't want to be here with you. If I didn't love my wife, look, I wouldn't want to be there. You know, that's just the way it works. I've had lots of employment. And out of all of those employments that I've done in my life, I can only truly say that I loved one of them other than what I'm doing now. Which I don't look at that as an employment. It's a calling. But I worked the oil fields. I've owned my own trucks. Drove for different people. And I dreaded the mornings that I had to fire it up and drive down the highway. I dreaded the weeks that I went out and worked out in the oil fields. And now, when I was a horseshoer, I'll be honest, I looked forward to going to work. I loved that job. To me, that was the job. It fulfilled things with me. And so love is an important thing in our life. Galatians 5:22. It says that's the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. It just says that's the fruit of the Spirit. The very first fruit is L-O-V-E, love. So I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that one of the evidences or fruit of a true believer is their desire to be with other believers. They want to be there. Now, sometimes we can't always be here, but we want to be here. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy being around them because we love the brethren. Now, people, let me back up real quick. I ain't saying that we love everything about each other, okay? There's some things that I don't love about my wife sometimes. She can irritate me so quick. She is the only human being in this world that can do some things to me that she don't have to get up off the floor. There's some men I know that if they'd approached me the way my wife has, they'd have been hurting. but we do love each other and we want to be around them. Even though she irritates me, I want to be. Hey, Ryan's got the same problem.
No.
He does. Do not listen to that. I know. I'm just picking on him. People who share the same divine nature, and we do have the same. Let me read you some scriptures. I'm gonna go to 2 Peter 1:4. Write that one down. People who share the same divine nature, knowing that shortly knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as, that ain't the one, 1:14? I'm looking at the wrong verse. How come I wrote it down wrong? Oh, I didn't write it down wrong. I read it wrong. Verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the divine nature of the Lord. And are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God if we're saved. Romans, you can go back here to Romans chapter 8. If you want to just write it down, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we became a child of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have all of these things in common. We desire to have fellowship with other believers that have these things in common. By the way, the word fellowship in the Greek actually means to have in common. Jude wrote, he said, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation, but hey, I got to write for you, contend for the faith. Which is a good thing. We're to contend for the faith. But he said, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation. That's what we all have in common, for one, is the common salvation. True born-again, spirit-led believers want to be together, and they have the love of God in common. Listen, if you don't have the love of God, you ain't saved. That's just a fact. That's in the Bible, black and white, plain as day. You got to have the love of God or something's missing, and that's Jesus. But those that are counterfeit, and hey, Satan counterfeits everything God does that he possibly can, but those that are counterfeit won't remain in fellowship, as he said in 1 John chapter 2. Because really and truly, it's because they don't have the love of God within their hearts. Jesus brought this to our attention in a parable about the rewards and the fruits that people put, that we put out. When we get saved, we want to do for God. We want to serve for God. But not everybody serves the same amount. Some people serve more, some people serve less. In the parable, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and then he explains it in 18 through 13, Jesus makes it clear in that parable. Okay, now listen real close. He makes it clear in that parable that true believers produce fruit. Now, it may be different amounts, but nonetheless, they do produce fruit. And so that's one way we can see amongst ourselves. Now, I can't just flat tell you, hey, Olivia over here ain't saved. I can't tell you that. But I can watch a person's fruit. I can see what they're doing. And that tells you a whole lot. So we'll go on from there, unless somebody got a question. Jesus used that in that, you know what, let's go read that parable. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to read 1 through 9 to start with. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. That says a lot about people. We got to have chairs and air conditioning. Anyway, I better go on. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let's go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his seed. That is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, what the Lord just told us in this parable is, it's kind of like you go out and you present the word, you present the gospel. And there's people that come and they hear it and they say, yep, whatever, and they go on. Then you got those that you know, in there it talks about the two that get it, and the cares of the life cause lots of problems with them, and they hear it and they have a little bit of an experience, but then all of a sudden they just fade out. See, something's wrong, because 2 Corinthians tells us there is a change in people. And so when I know a person that tells me that they've trusted the Lord Jesus, but there's never any fruit from it. They don't want to be in church. Something's wrong. And according to what I study and read, they need Jesus. Now, when a person leaves a Bible-believing teaching and preaching church, something is wrong, and most likely it means that they're not saved. It is possible to have some of the same characteristics that would pass for a Christian, but not be a believer. It's possible that you know somebody that has sat in church for a long time. And they tell you they're saved. They even got some of the characteristics. I mean, they might even say amen once in a while. But they're not a Christian. Because as you see, there's no fruits. And then as you see, they just fade out. And it doesn't bother them. There's something wrong. That's the people that John mentioned. They didn't have the love of Christ. And if, like I said, if you ain't got the love of Christ, you ain't saved. What the Bible says. So if you look. Now, I've actually checked this out. Because I've studied cults and I've studied false teachings and things. And I don't recommend people do that. But if you Google it if you want to. But if you look into who started cults. And some of the false teachers out there. They usually on a normal basis started out in a true scriptural New Testament church. That's the truth. They really did. They started out in a good church. They started out coming to church and they were reading their Bible, and somewhere along the line they didn't get it. And they just fade out, but they went and started these cults that we deal with today. There's one right down the road here. Big one. That place is full all the time. You got the ones that want to bring you the little magazine. Watchtower, they call it. Listen, they're cults. But if you research into who started them, you'll find out just about always that they started out in the Baptist church. That's scary. The one that started to, well, I'll just say it. The one that claims to be Jehovah's Witness, he was a Baptist. The one that started it very first, when you research their beginnings, he went off and he teaching false stuff. He left the fellowship. That tells you a lot. But if you'll look into that, you'll find out. Now, what are some of the things that believers have in common? Now, let me put it this way. While it's true that we may not agree on everything, okay, of denominations. I ain't talking about cults. I'm talking about denominations other than Baptists. I'll say a few of them. Presbyterians, Methodists. Some of them. While it's true we may not agree with everything with everybody out there, there are certain things that is a must. We got to believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God. If you don't believe the Bible's the infallible Word of God, you got a problem. And I got a problem with you. Christ is the only begotten Son of God. There's people that don't believe that. That all people are sinners. That's a must. That's one of them that you can't sway on. You know, I may sway on how come we have church certain times. I may say, well, you know, you do it your way. I'm going to do it what I feel the Bible teaches. You know, little things. But these are things that is a must. The virgin birth. Can't move off of that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can't move off of that. And they're all three one, by the way. I worship one God, but they're in three persons. salvation through faith in Christ, and that he died on the cross, buried, and risen again, and he is alive today. Can't move off of that. And that Christ is the only way. There is no other way to heaven. I don't care what these fancy health and wealth gospel guys, and they got the huge churches in Texas and they got the huge churches in California. I'm going to tell you something. If they don't believe Jesus is the only way, they're going to bust hell wide open. Amen. You cannot say there's another way and truly be saved. It can't happen. Because Jesus is the only way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We got to believe that you can't lose your salvation. Listen, the Bible plainly teaches you cannot lose your salvation. But we got people out there that teach it. And they're leading people to hell because they're trusting in their works to keep them going. One person I've been talking to the other day, "Oh man, we got to press toward the high mark of the calling of God." And I said, "Well, that's true." "Well, yeah, but if we don't make it there, listen, we're going to die and go to hell." And I said, whoa. "Nah, dude, you got it all mixed up. That high mark ain't your salvation. Listen, we get saved, we're saved. And then we start working for the Lord. And we start getting rewards and we start growing in a relationship with him. And that brings out the fruit of the Spirit. As we grow, people see more of that. But it's not to get me to heaven. Hey, it's signed, sealed, delivered. Today I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism didn't have nothing to do with it. No works had anything to do with it. It was my belief and my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." "No, you're looking at that wrong." "I'm not, whatever. If a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant," is what Paul said. A literal heaven and hell. Listen, we must believe that there is a literal heaven and hell. It speaks of heaven in the Bible, but it speaks more of hell than it does heaven. There is a real place. All right. The second thing, denies the faith. That's not good. Verses 20 through 25 of 1 John 2. He said, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I have not written," let me read that again. "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things write I unto you concerning them that seduce you." All right, I got to stop. I don't want it too far. Denies the faith. Question. Here's the question. Who do they say Christ is? Is he the Son of God? Is he God in the flesh? Listen, if they deny that, get away from them. You don't need them. Now, notice something here, though. This is important. This is a very important thing. Notice what John says here. In John's day, the false teachers used two words to deceive people by. They used the word knowledge, and they used the word unction. Now, basically, what they were doing in that day is they would claim to have a knowledge and an unction that not every believer possessed. a special anointing from God. They claim to have a special illumination from God that you don't have. They really did. And so therefore they were living on a higher level than you are. Now, I want you to look at something real quick here. But now, look what John says in verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. In other words, listen, I'm a God-called preacher, okay? But what God has opened my eyes to, He opens your eyes to too. If I stand up here and say, well, now the Lord has opened my eyes to all this stuff, and you don't understand, there's a problem. See, that's what the Catholicism does. They tell them people, they say, you don't need a Bible. You can't understand it anyway. You don't need to read that. We're the only ones that have that. That's what a lot of these false teachers do. You can't understand that. Look, this is what the Lord's written. This is what it says. You've been deceived. See, they want to tell you, listen, they're wrong. God hadn't taken anybody since probably John who wrote this and give them special prophecies, that special anointing. Listen, we all have that anointing. Now, with that, I will say this. The Bible does teach that we need to have a spiritual relationship with Christ to totally understand the will of God. We get out of the will of God and we start losing communication. Same way with my wife. I'm in communication with her on the norm. And I know what she's liking, and I know what she ain't liking. But if I get out of communication with her, I ain't getting it no more. Something wrong. And that's the truth. That's what happens with us. So we do need to have that. But listen, we can understand Christ, but it's nothing that was handed down to a select few. He handed the apostles down some pretty special gifts. That was a different era. That was a different thing going on. And they were for a certain reason. But when we have that relationship, it isn't hard to know. Honestly, when we have that relationship, it isn't hard to know when somebody else has done lost it. They've done went off on a rim all on their own. And they're placing themselves on a pedestal, and that begins to be a problem. I had a fellow tell me, he told another preacher I know, well, he told two preachers I know, well, you don't understand Scripture, brother. Well, I quit calling him brother, to be honest with you, but you don't understand Scripture. And neither does so-and-so, and neither does so-and-so. You guys need to come see me, and I will show you what the Lord says. Listen, I ain't never been so arrogant that I've told somebody I got it and you don't. I'm sorry. The Lord don't give us that special thing. It's called studying God's Word and having the relationship with Him, and yeah, He opens our eyes to lots of things, but they're already there. Just because somebody, by the way, just because a person says, oh, I'm saved, and they identify Jesus, that don't make them a believer. See, Mark 1:23, it says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Listen, they confessed who Jesus was. But they wasn't saved. They were demons. Just because a person says, hey, I can identify Christ to you, I'm telling you who Jesus is, that don't make them saved. Listen, a person that's truly saved has a true confession. It involves a personal faith in Christ. It involves a personal witness from their hearts. They have a change in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But I'm not only confessing just to God. Once I get saved, I'm going to confess to everybody else. I don't hide it. I don't have a problem. Jesus said, you deny me, I'll deny you. And that's the truth. And here is the promise. 25, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. If we are truly saved, we've got eternal life. Now I got to wrap this up real quick. It's important that we stay with the truth of God's word. It really is. The message we've heard, as John put it, message we've heard from the beginning. In other words, you open the Bible, you read God's word. It says in there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did not say that we've got to work for it. I got too much stuff up here. He didn't say we had to work for it. He didn't say we had to add anything to it or take anything away. He said, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now, I've had people tell me, well, you got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to. That ain't what the Bible says. It isn't. The Bible says I'm to believe. It's just simply as a child believes. That's what I'm supposed to do. If I add anything to it, then I'm adding to God's word, and that ain't good. All we need is that one verse. You know, a person can read that one verse and get saved and go to heaven. I was told by a person one time, no, brother. No, there's a lot more to it than just that. Well, John lied then, and the Holy Spirit lied to him, so that's impossible. It's all belief in Jesus Christ. Someone comes with something new or something that contradicts what the Bible says, or they're adding to it, there's something wrong with it. 1 John 4:1, we're almost done. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. I find that interesting. In other words, there's more than one spirit than the Holy Spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 24 and 28 of 1 John 2, 24 says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him. In other words, let the word abide in you, and you abide in Christ, otherwise you'll be led astray. Now, if the Lord permits, Sunday night, we're going to, because I told you there was three things, we're going to look at the third thing. They try to deceive the faithful. That's what they do. One thing you can notice real quick, I'll just give you this. One thing you notice about false teachers, people that aren't in the faith but claim to be. One major thing they give themselves away with. They do their best to convince saved people to get out of the church and to go their way. but they do very little to talk to lost people. But they'll do whatever they possibly can. Well, they'll tell you all kinds of stuff to try to stir the church up, to try to get you out of the church. Why would that be? Because the devil wants to destroy the Lord's church. But he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it.